Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for a live Q&A. I suppose normally I would do a truth or therapy session on the Sunday, but I don't have a guest lined up yet. I've been on holiday, I've been away, if you haven't heard, and I haven't got anything prepared just yet, as I have quite literally just set up the internet at the new house. That's right, I've been away on holiday and I've come back to immediately move home, and it's been a one hell of a week. I'll say that I am exhausted. The stress and the sleepless nights getting everything moved and ordered and shipped across and sorting out the old house for the landlord. My body is breaking down. I am not going to lie, I have terrible wisdom tooth pain, which I think has flared up because of all the lack of sleep and stress, and is radiating down to the back of my throat and into my brain with nerve pain. So yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling rough, guys. I am not going to lie. So I haven't best prepped for a podcast release just yet, but I've been talking to a few people. I've been getting a few things lined up. I've been talking to the Hijacker, host of the Revolution Radio, I believe. He has retired, and I think his last show, his last public appearance, is going to be with myself on this channel on the 9th to discuss, as he calls it, the grand unifying theory of conspiracy, which is the Millennial Kingdom theory. And I just like the guy's train of thought. I like to get him on just to share his thoughts and opinions and ideas surrounding the Millennial Kingdom. He seems to have thousands of them and hundreds of concepts in his mind about how it all could have played out. And I just like having the guy on to voice all of those opinions and thoughts. So he'll be coming on the 9th to share all of that. Again, it'll be his farewell broadcast, I suppose, which will be sad, but I'm glad that he's trusted me enough to be the platform to do that. So that's amazing. So yeah, we have that to look forward to, guys. That should be fun. I do have Vicky Joy Anderson coming in July as well. We're gonna catch up and talk more about transhumanism and shadow entities and demonology and you know, spiritual warfare. So that should be fun too. And I'm gonna reach out to Joe from JT follows JC, and I'll reach out to Vitaly as well from Alpha Talk, see if we can't arrange another little conversation about the millennial reign there, a bit of a back and forth. That should be good. Looks like we have the Cult of Con in the chat right now. Starting my workout while listening. Gains for the mind and gains for the body. Congrats on the move. Sorry to hear that you are so broken down. Don't be afraid to take a little downtime for yourself, my man. Well, again, I kind of have had downtime. I've been on holiday, you know. I've taken a break, and I'm pretty unplugged from it all, I'm not going to lie. And I've been trying to wrap my head around recent events and plug myself back into the conspiracy world. And as soon as I do that and I do a quick search, see what's going on in the clown world, I find this article from 2018, which we're going to talk about today, showing that some Satanists, self-proclaimed Satanists, but slash atheists, you know, in air quotes. We're just atheists, you know what I mean? Literally doing satanic rituals with sigils while dressed like clowns. I thought to myself, like, oh, I should have just stayed on holiday. This never ends. It's just ridiculous. But we're gonna go through an article in a bit, just have a quick chat about this, just to remind myself and all you listeners out there that this Nephilim clown thing is as real as any other conspiracy, and they are rubbing it in our face all the time. You know, to dress like a clown is to evoke demons. It's plain and simple. That's all it's ever been, and that's all it ever will be. No, it doesn't matter how much you love clowns personally, or how much you have personally attached to the idea of a clown about it's just a bit of fun for the kids. You are wrong. That is not what it is. That's not what it ever truly was. You've been duped. So that's basically what I'm saying. That's what I'm writing the book about. And the book's on the way. But again, because of I've been on holiday for 2 weeks, the better part of May, and obviously moving as I come back, I am nowhere near finished proofreading the book as I would like to be. If I share the screen with you here and bring up the editing. So this is chapter 10, Demons, which is all about Jesus's ministry, casting out demons, and how the Nephilim, once dead, became the demons we have today in the disembodied spirits. So this is my editing process here. I'm using Grammarly to help me with the proofreading. Obviously, as I go through, it highlights things where it thinks spelling is wrong or commas are wrong, things like this. It gives suggestions for rewrites. I'm avoiding all the suggestions where it's telling me, yeah, you appear to have a writing style here, Paul. Do you want us to utterly remove it? I'm basically ignoring those. The AI does seem to want to remove any individuality from the way things are presented. And, you know, I have a style, a conversational style, which I've put into my writing. And it seems to every now and then want to tell me, like, this sounds a bit too passive. Are you sure you don't want to rewrite this entire paragraph? And I'm like, no, because that's how I sound. I'm a passive voice individual. Like, stop trying to change who I am, AI. But it is useful for making sure spelling mistakes aren't there and commas are in the right place. I'm not going to lie. So, but I'm only up to chapter 10. As you can see, I'm trying to get through it. The whole book is here. I have done up to here in the process. And that is, you know, it's a lot of words. If I highlight that, if I go from there. Ooh, I don't need that. If I go from here to the top, what have I done? I've done like 60 pages so far of 160 or something like that. Where is it? Word count. So I've done 70 pages so far of 160. I have done just shy of 40,000 words out of 90,000 in proofreading. And, you know, I would have got a lot further in the month if I had any time to do it. It doesn't necessarily take that long to proofread a chapter, I'm not going to lie. So to proofread this whole chapter, it probably would take maybe an hour to, you know, to do a good, thorough job. Make sure it flows right, add any extra quotes that I needed and get the references all there that are necessary. Probably an hour, you know. So I have what? You know, 10 more chapters to go. I have 10 hours technically worth of editing to get through, something like that. Some chapters are longer than others. I mean, this one's only 4 pages, but I know if I go to, let's see, The Origin of the Clown, I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 30. Yeah, you know, it goes on, as you can see. I think I might have skipped over there, but it's about 20 pages just for The Origin of the Clown alone. Then obviously you go on to secret societies and their involvement. That as well is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. It's enough, you know, it's enough pages. So some chapters will take longer than others, that's true. But I do know the back end of the book here, chapters 17, 18, and 19 have kind of been proofread as I was writing them because I had the software then. So they're not going to be not as much as needed for these. So hopefully it shouldn't be, give and take. But I should get through this fast enough. What's that, 100 pages left to edit? Now I'm finally settled into the house. I've got some flat pack furniture coming in a few days to set up the office as a place to work as well. I should be getting back on track pretty soon and have the time to get all this done. I would normally have Mondays and Tuesdays, 4 hours every morning, a Monday and Tuesday to myself. to do all these type of things. But obviously, I've been missing that as well. So if you're wondering where the book process is, maybe I'm going to have to push the publishing date back to July now just to get this fully boxed off and finished. I do want to give you a quality product, you know. The book cover is practically done. My mod MK Ryan has been given a sneaky preview of that. So that's practically done, and obviously that'll be going into Kindle and being formatted as well. So hopefully, guys, in a month's time I'll have this thing published. But yeah, if you were wondering where I was in the timeline of that, there's an honest update. There's where I'm up to. I am currently proofreading chapter 10 of 20. So let's see where we get up to. The proofreading process isn't too bad. Like I said, some take longer than others. So roughly a month's work to get it all boxed off and done. I was waiting for some legal stuff to clear, which cleared on the 29th. I am now the official trademark owner of the phrase, "The Nephilim looked like clowns." Now, I'm not going to go Orwellian about that. It's mainly just to protect my book and my work more than anything. And anyone out there who's looking to, I know it's sad to say, but there are people out there who, how do I put this, are looking to abuse the work for their own personal gains, is the best way I could put that. And you know, I'm just not willing to let that happen. But obviously people can say the Nephilim look like clowns, and I'm not going to go out there and like sue people over that. That's not what it's all about. But some protection has had to put in place. Some nasty stuff happened about a month or two ago, which caused all of this, which I'm not going to go into because it's not worth it. But it prompted me and my wife to look at each other and go, we need to do some protection here. This is getting weird, you know. So it's one of those situations. So yeah, now that's cleared, I can, when I publish the book, I can put trademark next to the concept or the phrase, "The Nephilim look like clowns," for reasons which are just too fresh and controversial and upsetting to discuss here on this video. But there you go, that's the way it is. So that's cleared. I was hoping to have the book published at the start of this month, because once that was cleared, but I'm gonna have to push it back maybe a month. Maybe I will get it done sometime in the mid-June if I'm quick enough, if I'm
Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest since 1958. We've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
If I find all the time, now I'm settled in to get it done. But it is on my list of, a long list of things to do as a family man as well. So there you go. Quick book update, guys. So what's going on in the chat? Let me jump back into this. Let me just quickly switch this to here. You don't want to look at this while I'm talking. Let's do a nice slideshow. What shall we do? Shall we do old world architecture, or would that be too confusing? Should we do the clowns? We'll do the clowns. Okay, we'll do the clowns as the background slideshow. Just let it all roll through while I'm talking to you guys. Right, what's going on? Prayers for you, Paul, says the Red Raven. Oh, thank you. The Little Seasonist. Thanks for being here. Donna Matrix, great to see you. Aspirin, 1 gram. I'm taking ibuprofen and... do you call it acetaminophen in America? Paracetamol is what we call it here in the UK. I'm taking some of that too. I should be okay. Hey, con man, our community is a small world. All right, you guys know each other. Excellent. Yeah, I gave the Cult of Con here a shout out at the end of one of my other videos, my other lives. I like his channel. I like his style. I like his voice. I like his delivery. Go and check out his work if you haven't already on his channel, guys. It's easy listening. I enjoy listening to him talk. It's relatable stuff, which I enjoy. Go check out Connor of the Cult of Con. I believe I got a glimpse of your video earlier, Connor, explaining your title and everything. And I literally got about a minute into it before my life got in the way and I had to put the phone down and you know, be a father and and the rest of it. But I did catch a quick glimpse that you seem to be explaining yourself to people about why you call yourself the con man and why you have the cult of con. You know what, mate? After years of being in the game, I would say stop explaining yourself, just do your thing. You'll never be able to please everybody. That's pretty much what I've learned. It's sad. And you'll stress yourself out trying to explain yourself all the time. You just do you, okay? And if people like it, they'll stick around. What's going on then? We've got Caroline Marie. Thanks for being here. Tim Alexander, thanks for being here. Humble stranger, always good to see you. Never forget to be grateful for modern dentistry and anesthesia. Yeah, you know what? I am going. This has been really bad, this flare up of my wisdom tooth. It always happens every month or two, you know, long enough for me to forget. And then when it hits, it's horrible. And I'm like, why haven't I done something about this? And then once it disappears, it takes months before it comes back again. And I forget it's a thing. And then it happens. It's a vicious cycle of pain and misery every 2 months. But this time, it's been going on for a week. It's getting worse. I think it feels like it might be infected. I don't know what's going on, but it's radiating outwards into all my sinuses. I've never had wisdom tooth pain this bad before, and it's all happening at a time where I need to be in, you know, high gear. I need to be going, you know, I need to be moving. I got stuff to do. So once this flare does finally go down and I can actually open my mouth wider than a pizza slice and actually eat food without being in complete agony, I will go to the doctors, and which is the NHS here in the UK, and I will say to them, get my wisdom teeth out, remove them. Get rid of them. They are nothing but a pain and agony for me. Okay. I know in America it's much different for you guys. You seem to just get your wisdom teeth out as standard at a certain age or something. It's just like basic stuff. Like you don't even wait. You just get them out as soon as possible. Maybe there's big money in maybe it's like is there an industry out there like Big Wisdom who like is out there to get your teeth early so you can pay for the surgeries? I don't know what's going on exactly. But in the UK, it's just not a thing. They just don't think about it. They just let you deal with it. Just deal with the pain, you know, whatever. But I'm gonna kick up a fuss. I'm gonna say this is causing me absolute agony. I cannot live like this anymore. It's a serious problem. Remove them. So hopefully, let's see if 2024 is the year I can have these teeth pulled. Let's see. We'll find out, eh? But knowing the NHS, I'll be on a waiting list for 2 years. Can't wait. They aren't even trying to hide it anymore. The clowns. Yeah, the clowns. They are certainly not hiding it these days. Did anyone see this, by the way? Just off topic. I remember like an article when I was on holiday coming out. Somebody sent it to me, and I think someone made a joke about it in the Unexpected Cosmologies Discord and tagging me in it, which brought my attention to it. But it was that supposedly, the Apple was banning the clown emoji because it has ties to the alt-right and it's being used as an alt-right discriminatory symbol against the left or something like that. And I was laughing about this, and they were saying, "They're coming for you, Paul." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've got no chance now." It was fun while we had a good ride. It was fun while it lasted, but now they're gonna just ban the clown symbols because people like me are out there pointing to the multicolored collective and saying, "Look at them all looking like clowns. They're clearly possessed by demons." Although I very rarely directly say that because it's just an instant ban. You know what I mean? You can't talk bad about the golden calf. You know what I mean? Their god, their idols, and those particular groups of people are the idols of today. You know what I mean? There's a few of them on screen there, kind of right now. But these are models. You know what I mean? But it's kind of you're not allowed to talk about the sacred cows like that. But I thought it was funny that, you know, the clown symbol is now being related to liberalism. You know, clown they look like and dress like clowns, don't they? And you know, in the mainstream conspiratainment world, you know, it's kind of like you get the alt-right, don't you? Which are like the certified approved truthers out there, you know. And they're always focused on the political stuff. They never go into the occult stuff like we do here, you know, like they never get into the spiritual aspects of things. But you have that truth movement out there, you know, which are always discussing the corruption of the government and the media and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, they tend to be always being accused of that false left-right paradigm of the Nazis, you know, the new modern alt-right Nazi media versus the 1% progressive social justice side, you know, and they're always fighting each other and calling each other snowflakes. Then you get those other jokes like the left can't meme, and when, like, you get, you know, I think Pepe the Frog was the version of you know, their kind of idol, and then you had Anonymous, which was kind of extremely liberal back in the day, and it's there's always been that left-right argument going on, and I think that's where the clown emoji being banned, that's the sphere it fell into, where that was being discussed as a concept, you know. Anyway, it turns out there's another article got posted in the Telegram group, which basically said that's all nonsense and completely made up. Someone just posted a bunch of false images showing they've been banned for using the emoji, when really it was all, it's just not true. Like, Apple is not removing the clown emoji from its selection of emojis. It was all just fake news, bunk, made up stuff from the very beginning. It was never going to happen. And the whole, it was, everyone was just riled up for no reason. And you got to think about it. It's like, what a gaslighting event that was. It's like they just said something false to get everybody arguing with each other, you know what I mean? And to once again rally that anger and hatred up towards the far left liberal types who are out there doing all the evil satanic stuff, supposedly, you know. And I do wonder, you know, I talk about this a lot on the channel, but I feel like all of that argument just falls into the category of the purposefully overplaying the ultra-liberal communist satanic hand to purposely make the pendulum swing hard the other way. They want people to react to their evil, horrible practices, their anti-human, anti-life, anti-marriage, anti-community, anti, you know, all the anti-basic, normal, good stuff is what they always seem to be a part of, you know? And it's kind of like they're doing it on purpose. They're being they're creating these overtly, stupidly evil factions out there to create the reactionary patriot movement, or whatever it is, whatever movement that is in your country, you know what I mean? To rise up those anti-liberal types, you know, and I think that's the point. That's what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. It's like a double bluff. You're not really exposing anything by exposing those people. They're there to be exposed. They want you making media against them. And when they release these little articles, this fake news, shall we call it, where it's like, oh, Apple's going to ban the clown emoji because, you know, it's a symbol of hate against liberals and all this sort of thing. It's kind of, that's just there to make the liberals scream and cry and get angry, and then therefore the reactionary alt-right, shall we call them, or, you know, the other side, to be like, oh, what? They're siphoning off free speech and all this type of thing. And it's just, even though that is kind of happening on the surface, by playing the game and getting involved, you're actually just aligning to their script in a way. You're playing a role on their stage. And we need to get out of that. We need to kind of snap out of that game. But obviously, I couldn't resist discussing this clown emoji thing because it's exactly about my work, you know. And the clown emoji, well, fundamentally, you know, the left liberalist types do seem to look a certain way, which you could describe as clownish. There's even a whole subculture called clowncore, where they are quite literally dressing like clowns. And I don't think many conservative types are getting involved in that culture, if you ask me. It's more than likely the ultra-liberal, gender-bending, blurring the lines between what is and isn't culturally acceptable types. They're the ones who are getting involved with that, you know. So, you know, clowns and ultra-liberal types are synonymous, you know. They are kind of linked. And I've always begged the question, is that the spirit behind the culture manifesting themselves physically through the vessels they are possessing? Or is the culture dressing in that way, or has been inspired to dress that way for the purpose of opening up more channels to allow more demons? You know, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, is that the situation? What's coming first here? Are they doing it because they're already possessed and they're physically manifesting the demon within? Or are is the culture been designed that way so they end up dressing that way so they will be possessed? Or is it just a bit of this and a bit of that? Who knows? But I just thought I'd bring up the clown emoji thing. Has anybody else noticed that one? Has that come up for anybody else? Let me know what you think of that one. I'm going to go back to the chat now and see what's going on. Hello from Brazil, says Patricia. Thanks for being here. I appreciate that. Brooke says, I've caught a live Q&A. Awesome. Sorry about your tooth, Paul, and good luck with your new place. Thanks for all you have done for me and many others. Strangely, I was just watching The Cult of Con. All right, excellent. I'm glad Connor's got a bit more extra traction. It's always happy to see smaller channels get the attention they deserve, because it's hard to start a YouTube channel, you know. It's not easy. I've been doing this for like 10 and a bit years now. Was it April? I think April 2014 it was started. So yeah, 10 years. And it's only just picked up in the past year or two, you know, when I first came back, where I actually got the traction, where it became what it is. But for many years, at least, I think it was 4 years before I got kicked off of YouTube and by my workplace and had to take a break. But I think in those 4 years, I was just slogging through and doing my thing. And growth is slow, you know, it's very slow. And you just got to do you until eventually people gravitate towards you and your audience comes and something does finally... You kind of catch a break, you know, in a way, and you get lucky. A lot of it does just come down to pure luck. Like, and I networked and did the best I could. And again, you know, things grow relatively organically over time. But it's to get a YouTube channel to actually be successful. People say things like, oh, you know, it's consistency. You've got to post every so often. For the algorithm to recognize you and push your videos. You've got to be consistent. You know, you can't skip a day. You know, if you post every Wednesday and Sunday, you've got to post every Wednesday and Sunday. And if you miss it, then you're in trouble, you know. And the algorithm will lose you. You'll slip through the cracks, all this type of stuff. And there is something to be said for all of that. You know, you can game the system in the sense of post regularly, keep the content consistent, make sure your thumbnails are good, you know, make sure the title's right, get all the proper search engine optimization going on, you know what I mean, use all the right words. You can do all that to the end of time and your channel may still never get picked up. The videos will get pushed out to few people and then drop very quickly. That will still just happen. You're still going to just whim to the algorithm. But what I've found, what it really does come down to, and it's a shame, because there's a lot of good content out there just being missed by people because of this. But what it tends to come down to is just sheer luck. Like one day, for some reason, some other channel will promote your work or something like that. And it'll just suddenly bring enough views to your channel for the algorithm to notice you. And then it'll randomly push your video out to loads of people. And then it'll be a snowball effect from there. And you'll just get lucky one day for some, just randomly, you know, and you have no idea when that day will come or why. It just does. And one thing I will say does help is to have extremely catchy quality content on a very niche subject that other people just aren't doing. And that's hard. I got lucky that I was blessed by God to discover this Nephilim clown thing and to be kind of given the reins to grow with it, you know, and I did, and I uncovered the information and presented it, and obviously no one else was doing it, so in a way that kind of put me in a niche, and I was already in a very obscure niche called conspiracy culture, so that was niche enough as it was, but now I have this other weird subtopic genre niche of the clown thing within the conspiracy culture already, and that in a way has carved out a little piece for myself, which has helped me gain subscribers. And obviously the Millennial Kingdom topic, which I in October last year decided to give my 2 cents on, has also snowballed a little bit. And it was just a situation of it turns out, I didn't realize this, but it was a hot button topic at the time, and people were craving information on it, and no one else had talked about it in a while, apparently, and that means my video suddenly blew up, and that brought a lot more traction as well. So if you're out there thinking of being a content creator yourself, you know, be ready for an uphill battle. It's tough, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason. You can do everything right, and you still may never grow. Do you know what I mean? It's brutal, and it really does just come down to a random lucky day where you just did or said the right thing, or the right person was showing your video at the right time or something. It's just so sporadic. I don't know how you're supposed to, like, I still to this day have no idea what I'm doing. Okay, I just post a video every day or every other day about my random musings and rambles, and you know, and it's what I want to do. I enjoy doing it. And if it gets views, it gets views. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to make the content anyway. My thumbnails have gotten a lot better in the past year from what they used to be. They used to be just awful. Just a random image I'd pulled from somewhere and just slapped it out there for whatever. My wife has helped me understand the importance of thumbnails, and I've got a lot better since she showed me the drop shadow tool in Photoshop. I've gone a bit wild, I'm not gonna lie. I've gone a bit crazy with the drop shadows, but I can't help it. It's all new to me and exciting, so I'm experimenting a lot with my thumbnails, if you haven't noticed, guys. But I have a lot of fun with them because I'm an artist. I get creative, you know. I have a lot of fun with those thumbnails, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, I still don't know what I'm doing on YouTube. I'm a one-man show, you know. I don't have a team behind me. Some people message me sometimes. It's like, hello, everybody at the Understanding Conspiracy team. It's like, no, it's just me. You've just got Paul. It's just some guy. There's no team. There literally it's just myself and a laptop. And my phone occasionally, and that's it. It's just a bit of imagination and myself. That's all it really comes down to. Anyway, I'm trailing off a bit. Let's see what's going on, guys. Let's see what's going on. Let me get this chat back up, see what people are saying. No clowns, they're scary. They are scary, Kanga. I know. I forget. I'm desensitized to it all now. I'm kind of, you know, but it's not all clowns on these videos. As you see, you got the cookery on the screen right now, the Bulgarian tradition of the wild man. The wild man being the original inspiration for Harlequin, which later got taken over by the clown in the Comedia Arts movement, who originally looked something like this, as Pedrolino. Yes, the history of the clown. I know way too much about the history of clowns than I ever thought I would ever know. Honestly, I did not expect this to be my life. I really did not. I did not think I would be publishing a book called The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I did not think I would ever own the trademark to the words Nephilim and clowns combined in that odd way. I did not foresee any of this, okay? This was not my plan. You know, God has a plan for us, and things don't always work out the way we think is best, eh? This is a great insight into the creative process. I too am working on a book, and it's great to see how your process is going. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, the book thing. Yeah, the creative. It's hard writing a book as well. Maybe I'll make a separate video someday, just explaining the process of writing a book and what I've learnt, because it's a new experience for me, and I've learnt a lot. There's things that happen that you just don't realize until you're doing it. Maybe I'll make a video about that one day. Who knows? Rappers, Carti, NBA, Youngblood, Youngboy, Trippie Red, Lil Uzi Vert, all wear clown-like attires during shows, and they're the most famous public Satanists out there that channel the clown demons through the way they dress. Yes, they do. Yeah, I know, and I'm not into that scene, so I don't know as much as a lot of other people know about the rapper scene and the obsession with clowns, but I do know it's extremely prevalent throughout the entire music industry, the clown aesthetic, and for good reason, because they are channeling demons, likely for talent. You know, you get a lot of these artists saying they have alter egos, you know what I mean? Katy Perry has a few, you know, that I'm aware of. I know Beyonce has Sasha Fierce, but it's not, that's they're just the two mainstream, well understood characters that claim to do that, but they pretty much all do. Some of them don't claim it's an alter ego, that it's just themselves, and they just dress like that because that's their shtick as well, and that's what they do. But what they're doing is they're channeling for power, for demons, for demons to give them the skills to sing or perform, or they've signed a deal, a contract, that through their own talents, yes, they can perform and do whatever, but they get the fame and the adulation and the contracts to do those things because they allow themselves to be channels so the demons can experience the world through their body and be worshipped as a god once more on the stage. So it's kind of a contractual agreement. It's like, yeah, I'll let you be famous. We'll let you go on stage. We'll let you be famous and your music will get out there, but you have to be a channel for demons. You know, this is like the contract, right? The Illuminati contracts writers, you know, are talking to the artist and they're like, yeah, you know, you can be famous. You got the skills, you got the talent, you can write all the songs, whatever, you know. But you're going to have to be a channel for the demons. Like they need their fill, you know, they need, and you know, you might have to do some stuff for them. Like you have to take the right drugs or drink the right things so they can experience that. You're going to have to go to the orgies. You're going to have to, obviously you're going to have to murder somebody and we're going to have to film it. Or you're going to have to do something horrible to a minor and we're going to have to film it or something to blackmail you as well. Just in case you decide to get a conscience one day. We've got you, you know. All that sort of stuff probably happened behind the scenes. But dressing like a clown is the uniform that they have to wear for work to allow themselves to be a ready channel for the demons. That's you see it everywhere. Like musicians are always clowning themselves up. They're always putting chalk paint all over the skin and whiting themselves up. Red lipstick and some kind of wild, crazy hair, panda eyes, makeup thing going on. The more colourful and extravagant the costume, the better as well. You see it all the time. The music industry is rife with it. Absolutely rife. Not just rap culture. All music. All genres. Everywhere. That's a smart choice, Paul, says Chris. I don't even know what that choice was. Hopefully, removing the wisdom teeth. I've just watched 3 vids so far, but it looks like I'm going to fly through them as I did when I found Paul's back catalogue talking about Calls of Con there, yeah. Considering how much you're exposing, it was a matter of time, yeah. I'd love to hear the whole backstory of the Nephilim look like clowns theory you developed and how potential plagiarists and copyright violators giving you grief. You're a busy man with valuable time. Thanks for the advice, my man. Yeah. It's not really a story I want to tell. I don't want to shine any light, unnecessary light, on the people involved with this. It's not worth it. I'm not looking to give anybody clout unnecessarily. It's just not worth it, you know. And they're quite litigious people as well. I don't want to give them any fuel for the unjust fire, you know, even though if they even did try in any way, shape or form to sue me, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on and would lose instantly because I have all the evidence to prove that I am what I say I am. And I literally did come up with the idea and it's kind of, but they want to claim that they did. And it's just stupid. It's really stupid. I didn't think this topic would cause this, but who, what do you know, the vultures circle no matter what, you know. But I stood my ground and I've legally protected myself, let's put it that way. That's all I can really say on the matter. I'll be praying for your health, Paul. Excellent. Use a clove for pain. This seriously works. I'll give it a go. G Moore, thanks for letting me know. Wendy, thanks for being here. Pineal Wasteland says, I got very sick from mold about 15 years ago and stopped eating sugar and bread. Haven't been to the dentist since. Yeah, well, I'll admit, I've eaten a lot more sugar and bread than I usually do over the past month because I've been on vacation. So I need to go back to the fast. Absolutely. I think it's all just, I think it's the jet lag A holiday is exhausting in its own right. Traveling by plane for 9 hours is exhausting as well, you know. And then moving house and painting and decorating and building furniture and hiring a van and transporting things back and forth and fighting to get your deposit back. And then it just getting, fixing new appliances for the new house and wiring up your own oven and just all sorts of stuff is kind of, it all starts to pile up eventually. It's one problem after another when you're moving house that you've got to kind of power through, you know. And then all the while in the back of my mind, it's like, I've got this channel. I've not posted videos in days. I need to keep it consistent. What am I doing? I'm losing it. I don't have time to record a video. I better do it while I'm driving and transporting some stuff to the old house, you know. And it's this constant pressure. It's been one hell of a month. And I'm finally able to just sit down and do a live show with you guys. This is it. I'm finally capable of doing this. And it's been such, it's just been impossible, you know. And I know for you guys, you know, you just think, oh, this is some guy on YouTube. It's not a big deal if he doesn't make videos. But you understand, I'm a self-employed artist, you know. And, you know, I believe in what I do. I'm passionate about my work. I love what I do. But this is work. This is how I earn. This is how I feed my family. YouTube revenue is a big part of it. You know, I make money doing this, which pays the bills just about, and just about puts food on the table, you know. And then obviously I've got my patron supporters on top of that. And then there's book pre-orders and the sales I'm hopefully about to get as well. So this is work for me as well. So when I have this period where I'm on holiday and then I'm also moving house and I'm fully tied up in all of that, you know, I can't help it. I'm a man with a family, you know, and in the back of my mind, I'm worrying. I'm worrying about time and money. And I don't think I'll ever not be able to do that, unfortunately. So it's kind of like it's just the stresses of life. I'm sure anyone who's self-employed understands time is quite literally money for us. Like when you're not working, you're losing money. That's how it feels, you know. There's no backup. I'm self-employed. It's all on me, you know. I don't have like, I can't to go and take sick pay, you know, and go off for 2 weeks and have a government sick pay or something. I can't. There's no backup income or anything like that. It's all solely on myself, and what I choose to do and what I put in is what I get out. So there's always that there, you know, just a bit of an insight to Paul's life, what it's like being a self-employed content creator and author. It's I guess I'm an artist is what I would class myself, to summarize it all quickly. Should I call myself an entertainer, or would my detractors out there then start saying, see, he's not real, he's just an actor? And it's like, no, I love doing this. I believe in everything I'm talking about. But if I was to put it down on a official document for the government for tax purposes, what do I define myself as? Author, content creator, entertainer? I can't put conspiracy theorists down. Can you imagine how that would look? How do I justify that to the tax man as a legitimate job? I don't know. What do I do? Anyway, I'm trailing off there. Just some random thoughts about business I have to deal with on a regular basis. Let's keep going. Let's keep scrolling down. Let's catch up with the chat. And then we'll get into this article about the clowns, shall we? And then we'll see what you guys have to say. Zach Fair, thanks for being here. An abscess can get serious quickly. Horribly painful too. Yeah, I don't know if it's got to that. I don't know what's going on. But I am seriously on the verge of going to the doctors tomorrow just to see. Just to get it checked. Is the short season considered a third coming, says Tayman? Jesus comes the first time, dies, comes a second time after the resurrection, and then leaves again after the millennial kingdom and comes back after the little season. I mean, in a way, I mean, the whole second coming for, that's not biblical language necessarily, is it? That's just something we've kind of defined through churchianity and that type of idea. I mean, Jesus's kingdom is an eternal, God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom. There's no coming or going necessarily. He's always there, you know, and always has been and always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, you know, his kingdom is eternal. Now, in terms of a physical, earthly kingdom that you can tangibly go to and walk around in and communicate with, it's up for debate about how that works, but there is a beloved city and the camp of saints. But is that the kingdom? Probably not. I mean, it's a heavenly thing, isn't it? You know, and there can be manifestations of the heavenly kingdom on earth, which is likely what was going on during the millennial reign. But again, it's hard to say. Was there a physical city floating around in the North Pole, which emanated more physical cities to emulate it all throughout the earth, where Jesus literally was sat or walking around, you know? Or was Jesus in heaven ruling, kind of above the earth, but in a spiritual realm we call heaven, and that seeped into the physical world where we lived, and his saints, who had physical resurrected bodies in the earth, were going around doing his job and spreading his word and his kingdom to the rest of the world. There's a lot of ways to describe what's going on there necessarily. After the millennial kingdom, when Satan's loose for a little season, did Jesus leave? Maybe not. Maybe he was always ruling from heaven and never even came back. You know what I mean? In a sense. Or maybe he was physically always here and never left when Satan was released and is still physically on earth somewhere, just in this city we can't see or has been hidden from us. The cameras are not pointing at it. Flight paths never go near it. Boats never go near it either, commercially speaking. You know, so you'll never know it's there. There could be that too. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I don't think Jesus returns at the end for great white throne judgment. I think it's like in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant, at the end of all time, when it happens, when the end of the script is over, when Gog and Magog has surrounded the camp of saints and makes war with it, fire just comes down. Over for everybody. Snap, you're all in front of the great white throne for judgment at the end of time, you know. And then the heavens and earth are renewed. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe that's a rejuvenation of earth. It's like a resurrection of earth. It's made anew. It's not that there's a the old earth just disappears and then puff a new one's there type of thing. I think the old earth. And it does say the earth is on pillars, it's eternal, it stands forever, you know, as a testimony to God. It does mention that in the Bible. I don't think the earth itself just disappears. I think it's rejuvenated. It's built back to its original form. It's kind of regenerated. I think that's probably what happens to the earth and heaven as well, in a sense, you know, because obviously corruption and rebellion took place in both realms. There was rebellion in heaven and there was rebellion on earth through Adam. You know, and the fall and the rebellion of the angels. So it's kind of the end of the rebellion in a way, is what the new heaven and new earth is about. It's a resetting back to the way things were, in a sense. And then obviously Satan, the false prophet, and the beast are cast into the lake of fire. And then there's arguments about what that even is. Is it an eternal thing? Is it an instant obliteration? Are they tortured forever and ever? It's kind of what happens to the Nephilim spirits as well, because they're clearly still on earth. Do they also share a place in the lake of fire at the end of time, after the new heaven, after the earth is rejuvenated? Because right now, the current earth that we're in is still infested in the spirit realm of the earth with demons. And this astral realm is the same thing as the earth. It's just the other side of the coin of the earth. It's you can't have one without the other type of thing. So these demons, even though they're not physical, are still on the thing, the enclosed system we call Earth. But they're still here, you know, they're just not embodied, but they're still within the realm of Earth, just in a place that we can't perceive with our perceptions as they are in our physical bodies. But they'll have to be dealt with at the end as well. And there's other questions on top of that, like, will they also go through a saving process? It's possible that Nephilim in the past, you know, I think Vitaly Alpha from Alpha Talks did a great presentation that there were cynocephaly dog men that did do Christ's bidding and go for God and were forgiven in a way, you know, and it's there's plenty of examples of perhaps Nephilim in a sense, or at least men who turned themselves into beasts. can still be saved, and therefore the spirits, though trapped here on earth, may also have a chance at salvation through Christ. You can go on for hours debating and arguing about all of this. And this is why I love the Millennial Kingdom theory so much, because it shifts your perspective. It forces a perspective shift. It forces you to ask these questions to try and make sense of what's going on, rather than just going along with the already established dogma that it's all futurism and it's all yet to come. And it's kind of, well, what if that's just not the case? What if some things have already come to pass? It means everything has to be considered, you know, and that's what we do on this channel. Anyway, I'll stop there. Let's see what else is going on. I'm going to have a quick drink of water, guys. Just bear with me. Do oil pulling for a tooth infection. Coconut oil is thick, but it works. Interesting. I'll give it a go. Someone at work asked me if I believe in ghosts, and I just launch into the Nephilim, says Ian James. Yeah, I am way past the ghost stuff. I'm sure you understand, Ian, absolutely. Clowns are demons imitating humans, says Vexy Worlds. No. No, that's not what it is. It's not that people who dress like clowns are actually demons putting on makeup to look more human. That's not what's going on there. No, that's not what I mean at all. No. A clown, as we know it in the West, is a specifically crafted symbol or costume which is modelled after the way demons actually looked when they had physical bodies and they were known as the Nephilim. Does that make sense? So the ancient giants of the past, the Nephilim, had features which we today would describe as clownish. And the clown costume, which was created in the early 1800s and developed into what it is today, was created and modelled after demons or giants or monsters of the ancient past. More specifically, as I've shown through my research, the Rakshasa demons, which are on the screen right now, coincidentally, I did not plan this, but what you see on the screen right now is the Kalasungsang demon of Bali, which is modelled after the Indian Rakshasa demon. This is where you get clown costumes from. In the 1800s, they copied this design and put it onto the Western theatre stage in London. But this is where the clown costume comes from. It's modelled after the way demons looked, the Nephilim specifically looked, which is, you know, half dragon, half human, basically. Hope that clears up the theory a bit more. So when you see people walking around in clown costumes today, that's not secretly a demon trying to look human. That's not what's going on. Okay. That is a human dressed in a costume, which will means they will now channel demons more readily because they are dressing like something that represents a spiritual concept, a spiritual being. And all these other ancestor spirit worship cultures around the world know that if you dress like something, you channel the thing from the spirit realm. They are ritualistic costumes used for the purpose of channeling spirits. And when we dress this way in the West, through our version, which we call a clown costume, we are doing the same thing, whether you know it or not. You are channeling something spiritual, something from the other realm. You are wearing the skin of a demon, basically. And as a result, you'll end up channeling that entity from the spirit realm. Or you are opening yourself up to be a more ready channel for the thing in the spirit realm. This on the screen right now, that is a clown, yes? Wrong. That is an ancient depiction of a Wand Jina, okay? A Kimberley region, Western Australian specific demon, okay? Now, they don't call them demons. They call them sacred rain gods, offspring of the rainbow serpents. But that is the offspring of the fallen angels, the seraphim, fiery flying serpents. These are the half-human, half-snake dragon hybrids. And this is what they looked like. This is how they're depicted on the rock art in the Kimberley region of Australia for the Aboriginals. These are sacred creator gods of their culture, but they are just referring to Nephilim. They just think their culture is unique and special, but really, everywhere, every continent, every culture has the version of this, has been impacted by this. And to many different levels, obviously, were they venerated? Some more, it may have been that they weren't venerated at all in some cultures, but feared. But make no mistake, that's where it all comes from. And this is the AI representation of what an absolute mess it may have looked like back then. You know, but here's a different culture showing. You can see every culture has an echo through their makeup and clothing and artworks and their traditions of Nephilim features, because they all witness something. Every culture witnessed something specific which they have tried to emulate throughout history through their clothing. And the Western clown has kind of borrowed a lot of these features from different cultures and amalgamated it into a caricature costume, which we call a clown costume, but it has nothing to do with fun or reverie or entertaining the kids. Truly, it's just our version of these costumes worn by other cultures around the earth who also channel demons and wear these costumes purposefully for that purpose. It's just it's an occult symbol in the West. The occultists know this and they use it as a tool. The general profane masses think it's a fun costume to entertain children at birthday parties. They don't the most people haven't got a clue to the power and purpose of this costume. They haven't not even the foggiest idea of what it really is. They're so ignorant and blind that they think wearing a clown costume is just something fun and silly and means nothing, when actually it means so much more. It means a lot, okay? It's very dangerous, actually. Very dangerous. And people don't dress like this in other cultures lightly. They know when they put on the white face paint and the red lipstick, they're doing something sacred. They're doing something that has spiritual implications. Okay, it's not a joke to them. To us in the West, it's been trivialized to the point where we're incredibly ignorant to just how dangerous it actually is. You know, very, very dangerous for us. And we're being played big time. And like I said, these rappers we mentioned earlier, these artists who all seem to dress like clowns for some reason, they know what they're doing. They know how powerful and serious it is to dress that way. And they use it as a tool for power. Absolutely. Just like these other cultures. So there you go. I don't want to... Sorry, I know I went on a bit. I just don't want people to be mistaken about what my work actually is really all about. And I know there is a lot of confusion out there when they first hear it, what I'm actually talking about. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I should have been more clear with the title. I never told my boss about my channel. They would probably get rid of me too, but it's fine. There's always something that needs to be cleaned. Yeah. I'm glad you were able to move past the place and become a creator you are today. Oh, thanks, Goldscott. I appreciate that. This is truth. Then there's a shadow banning for truly sensitive topics. Yeah, there is. Let me just check something. Has this video already been demonetized? Usually I get demonetized if I say the wrong word halfway through the stream. They usually instantly ban me. Let me just check if this has happened to this stream. Am I already in the red zone? Can't get back off this for some reason. Let's just back up. No, they haven't demonetized me yet. That's good. Let me just refresh this page to make sure that's actually the case, though, because you can't trust these people. You have no idea. If you guys don't know, again, a glimpse into the life of a creator, I quite often, as soon as I finish a live show, they demonetize the video. And then I always put an appeal in. This is every time. I always put a manual review appeal in to get a human being to look at the video to tell me whether or not it should be or not, you know. And the next day, without fail, they will monetize it again. But by that point, The videos already had all the views it was going to get, so I make no money. Every time. So every time I put in a manual review, the person always goes, oh, this video's fine, monetize it, no problem. But as soon as I finish recording the video, the AI algorithm has decided no. Okay. And clearly the AI algorithm must be technically incorrect, right? So, because how can I always appeal and always win? If my so that tells me my videos never should have been demonetized to begin with, right? Because they always win the appeal. But that doesn't matter. That's what happens. That's the game they play. This is how shadow banning works. Okay, so they do these little things, and it's kind of like they're just trying to make you give up, basically. Like, so, you know, and it, again, that's how they do it, you know, and that's why I'm thankful for my Patreon support, because it's kind of, without them, you know, this it's kind of, it's a fruitless effort, you know what I mean? And as I explained earlier, as someone who's self-employed, this, you know, this means everything in a sense. But yeah, YouTuber are sneaky that way. They do little things like that, you know. But luckily, this one, apparently I haven't said anything too sensitive yet. We'll see. I guarantee once I finish the show, they'll do something. I guarantee they will. They always do. I know what they're like. Let me just get the chat back up, guys, see what's going on. We've got 200 people here right now. That's amazing. Thanks for joining me, guys. I'm glad you guys like listening to me ramble on. It's good to know it's not all for naught. Right, let me just scroll back on the chats. How far? It won't let me go that far. See if I can get more up there. Jenny Simon, I'm a Heyoka, not by choice. RH, O negative. Always been an old soul and see whether I like it or not. I'm also just off the cuff, smart, witty, funny, and can be dark. Do things backwards, reverse psychology, says Jenny Simon. Well, you know, Jenny, I'm also an O negative. Does that make, I'm RH negative, you know? Does that naturally make me a Heyoka empath too? Just because I'm empathetic and perhaps, you know, in a way connected spiritually more so than others, if that's true. If naturally being O negative means that's true about myself. And I would say I'm a strong Christian with a strong faith in God and Jesus Christ, you know, so I guess I am a spiritual person, you know. I've always been in tune with spiritual things. I've had brushes with the spirit realm and demons. I know it's all real. So does that make me a Heyoka? Or is that a title you're giving to yourself due to cultural specific things? And do you necessarily want to be identifying with a Heyoka? Something that's modeled after a thunder god, which is a Nephilim. All Nephilim, if you look into history, are always associated with thunder and rain and being lightning bearers, able to control the weather, you know. Does being an empathic spiritual person immediately mean you are a Heyoka? Why would you want to define yourself by that culture's specific symbol? For being slightly spiritual and empathetic. I don't understand, you know. Can you not just be a slightly more in tune empathetic person? Do you have to label yourself a Heyoka empath or something? I don't see why you would have to do that. Is it necessary, you know? Again, but like you said, nobody's a Heyoka by choice, and that's true, at least. I've seen that before. Lennox Cloud, thanks for the super chat. I just felt like helping out. Keep spreading the truth, Paul. Thank you. Oh, thanks. That's really kind. I appreciate that. That's amazing. Thank you, Lennox. Yeah, that means a lot to me. But yeah, I'm not trying to put you down, Jenny. You know, I get it, you know, and perhaps the Heyoka story has related to you more so than other stories. So it helped you contextualize what's going on in your life. I don't blame you in a way for considering the Heyoka to be a way to explain why spiritual things keep happening to you. I get it. You know, I get it. And again, I'm not putting you down. I guess what I'm trying to say is there are other ways to explain these spiritual phenomena without having to fall into a cultural specific explanation of what it means to be a spiritual person. You know, it can just be at the end of the day that you are simply just that way. without having to label yourself as something like a heyoka. Because as I've done for my research, you know, to call yourself a heyoka is to be somebody who channels the Wakinyan gods of the Dakota Plains, and the Wakinyan is a beast-riding hybrid horned beast god who controls the thunder and rain. And that is a Nephilim creature, you know, and do you want to be identifying with that necessarily? I don't think so. You know, you can be an empath for God at the end of the day. You can be a true empath and spiritually connected person and still know Jesus. And I would always recommend that over identifying with being something that channels the Wakinyan. Yeah, so again, I'm not trying to disparage you. That message isn't just for you. It's for many other people out there who also identify with those things. I've met a few, you know, I missed it, but my, when I was talking earlier about what do I identify myself as exactly, like when it comes to tax returns, and, lately, when I was with my wife at the doctor's and they were asking what my occupation was, I looked at my wife and said, "What am I? Well, what is my occupation? What do I do exactly? What did we decide on again? What was it? Artistic author." That's the best I could come up with on the spot. I'm like, I'm an artistic author. Borderline sounding like autistic author, maybe. I'm an artistic author. Yes, that's funny. yeah, she's just reminding me that's funny. Yeah, funny. I don't know what to call myself. I don't know. I speak, people watch and listen, and thankfully that puts food on the table somehow. Okay. I can only thank God that somehow has worked out that way. It's a blessing. It really is a blessing, and I feel like I've done very little myself to get there. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit, but it definitely feels like I've got help from God on this one. And I put my faith and trust in Him, and He is providing. It seems to be how it's going there, so I'm thankful for that. Hey Paul, how much of the ancient astronaut theory do you ascribe to? None of it. I don't think aliens exist. I think they are fallen angels, and what we call outer space is not a vast infinite thing that goes off out there into vast infinite planets and universes and suns and solar systems. I think outer space is more likely the deep, the great deep of the waters that surround us and are below us, and it's likely that these monsters may come from that, or they fell from heaven, you know. So I think ancient astronauts are just a secular way of explaining away angels. That's probably what I would say on that one. It's the History Channel's version of events, eh? That's what you're going off. I finally understand why I hated clowns all my life. Not even a phobia or anything. I just always found it beyond annoying. Right, guys. I can't respond to all the things everyone's saying. Unfortunately, you know, I'm lagging behind here, and there's too many comments for me to respond to. So I'm going to jump ahead now, and I'm going to share the screen with you guys, and I'm going to share this article I found, which I just thought was fascinating, and it was so odd how I came across this. I can't even remember. I don't even know, but I found this article on the Daily Mail Online somehow. And I honestly can't remember how this came across to me at all, but it did. And here we are. Let me just close these ads. It's just annoying. It fits the theory. It fits the bill of everything I'm talking about. I'm not surprised that this is happening. But if you look at this here, you can see on screen, and we'll just go through it together, okay? So it says here, inside a dark Harlequin satanic ritual, worshippers in black robes and clown noses purge themselves of emotional baggage in Prague. Okay. So followers of the Church of Satan claim their religion is just like any other faith. Pictures show members waving wands, walking in the dark and sitting around symbols drawn on the floor. Photos were taken in Prague, the Czech Republic, by a local photographer, David Tyzinski. Unsettling images of Satan followers wearing clown noses and long dark robes performing a nighttime ceremony have been revealed in a series of photos. The men, who appear made up like Pennywise the Dancing Clown from Stephen King's horror book It, are pictured taking part in dark harlequin-style ritual in the suburbs of Prague, Czech Republic. The group, photographed by David Tyzinski, is said to believe in individualism and worship the Czechoslovakian temple of Satan. The Church of Satan does not believe in the devil. Oh, here we go. Nor a Christian or Islamic notion of Satan. Satanists are atheists who consider themselves as being the most important person in the universe and are thus sometimes said to worship themselves. They do not perform sacrifices but can take part in ritual practices to purge themselves of unwanted emotional baggage that might be hindering a daily pursuit of joy in life, according to the church. Yeah, so doing this, sitting in a satanic sigil imbued circle with candles and a chalice here with God knows what in it, okay, while dressed like clowns in robes in a dark room chanting horrible things and reading out of old tomes. This is classic atheist behavior. I can't walk into anywhere without seeing atheists just doing this all the time, right? All these people who don't believe in God or religion, they're just constantly doing these satanic rituals dressed like clowns, aren't they? This is typical atheist behavior. This is what you see in the universities in every science class. This is what's going on, guys. This is I hate this stupid gaslighty thing they always say. It's like, oh, you know, we don't really believe in the devil. We're just atheists who worship ourselves. How is doing any of this worshipping yourself? Does this look like self-worship to you? Or does this look like adulation and veneration and an attempt to communicate with something else outside of themselves? I think the latter is more believable. But yeah, these guys have leaned into the hat man wearing red nose, white skin, typical aesthetic veneration makeup to get further connections with the spirit realm and communicate with demons. That's what they're really doing. But to the public, they describe it as, oh, we're just atheists. Yeah, we're just doing these silly little rituals to symbolically purge ourselves of negative energy, man. That's all we're doing. Yeah, right. There's better ways to purge yourself of negative energy. You know, why don't you go for a run or something? Like, you can go just walk around in the forest and touch some grass, you know, that might make you feel a bit better, make you calm you down a little bit, you know. There are other ways to feel a bit better and get rid of all the bad thoughts than, I don't know, chanting around a circle full of satanic sigils and dressing like clowns. There's other ways, there's easier ways, you know. They're liars, they're just liars, and they're trying to make us... They're trying to like make out like it's gaslighting at its finest. It's kind of like, oh, you're crazy to think we believe in the devil, even though we're clearly doing all these satanic devilish things while putting our fingers on a Baphomet symbol. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, we don't worship the devil. No, 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 I'm just an atheist. Now, give me a minute while I sing my chant to Baphomet. It's gaslights. They make us think we're crazy. We're the crazy ones for pointing out the obvious. You know what I mean? That's what this is all about. Anyway, Tyzinski, 28, was invited into the house on the edge of Prague to document the group who have been practicing satanic and hoodoo rituals for the past 25 years. Hoodoo rituals, they mean voodoo rituals. Okay, hoodoo is a stupid modernized version of voodoo, which is voodoo is another example of this. It's Haitian practice. It's satanic worship basically that emanates from Africa. Okay, this is where it comes from the Vodun religions as well, and it's icon ancestor spirit worship mixed in with Freemasonry, with mixed in with French icon Catholicism as well. It's an odd blend, okay, but it's basically African ancestor spirit worship with a Catholic Freemasonic overlay, right? As a result of the Haitian African slave, the African slaves going over by the French colonists, okay? So you get this odd look, right? But to say they're practicing hoodoo is like the New Orleans version of voodoo, which is originating from Haitian vodou, which comes from African ancestor spirit worship. So yeah, these guys are quite literally just copying, if they do hoodoo, Haitian vodou. Okay, which again is communication with spirits in order for power and rituals and to gain information, and it's the job of channeling spirits. So they're dressing like clowns and wearing these hats, just like, I don't know, Baron Samedi here from the Vodou religion. People dress this way to channel this specific spirit. And they smoke cigars and drink rum to please the spirit because that's what the spirit wants. Okay, but this is a Nephilim spirit. This is a serpent hybrid spirit. Okay, so they're just dressing the same way they do to channel the same entity. But they're hiding behind the circus version of the Hat Man, which is the ringleader. Okay, let's see what we get here. Of the circus. It's the same character, it's the same thing. Okay. And the ringleader is the orchestrator of the ritual. It's King Solomon, the Lord of the Ring, crown represented by the hat. That's what this is. So this guy is here with the hat, the orchestrator of the ritual, the ringleader of the circus. Okay, King Solomon is orchestrating the ritual, and the clowns are the demons he is trying to summon. So you have these people around him dressed like clowns because they are going to be the channels for the demons he is attempting to summon. It's all there in one symbolic ritual, okay? They dress this way as a tool and they're publicly showing you. They're showing you what they're doing. They're not even hiding it, you know? But they hide behind this mythologized, stupid lie that we're just atheists having a laugh. Please, come on, give us some credit. I know you think Christians are all just fucking like stupid. Sorry for swearing, by the way, guys, but this stuff gets me angry. I know you just think we're like ignorant backwater, Bible bashing, like ignorant fools who clearly aren't going to catch on. But give us some credit. We're not, we weren't all raised in some Baptist church somewhere where we didn't know anything outside of our Sunday school teachings. Like, I wasn't even raised a Christian. I came with it late. Some of us know a thing or two, and it's kind of like they have this bigotry of low expectations. They think we're so stupid that we're never going to figure out what's going on, and they post articles like this and laugh about it to our face. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like these idiots, they actually think we're atheists. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even know why we're dressing like clowns. They just think we're, it's like they think it's a bit of fun and we're just being silly. Little do they know what, and they kind of probably get off on it. But look at this guy's taking it deadly serious. He knows what he's doing. But to the public, this just seems silly, right? I don't know. Looking like dark clowns, they apparently walked into a public place after midnight, showing no emotions at all, didn't talk, and went to the nearest cemetery. Yeah, that's normal atheist behavior, isn't it? Let's go do some necromancy late at night, dressed like clowns. Yeah, sure. Look at these guys. What a mess. Yeah, so they call this the Dark Harlequin, or the Aklanacha. Performed in deep caves or streets, forests, and jungles. 8 new silver candles are placed in a circle, a silver cup, elixir, and drums help set the scene. Again, typical atheist behavior. Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't an atheist be carrying around the gold, the silver chalice, and a bit of chalk for any moment, you know? There are 3 basic types of satanic ritual outlined in the Satanic Bible. For compassion for oneself and others. Yeah, right. For lust, to release unrequisite sexual urges. And destruction, to cleanse oneself of anger towards someone who has done you an injustice. So, in order to forgive somebody, you need to perform a satanic ritual. You can't just let it go and give it to God. You can't just forgive. That's odd. You know, in order to gain compassion for other people, you need to perform a ritual. That's odd. That's a shame that you have to do that. And the fact that you are so riddled with lusts and sexual urges and desires that are so all-encompassing in your mind that you need to do a ritual to alleviate yourself of those feelings and thoughts. Again, that's sad. You know, you do know you can be born again and deal with all of these problems by giving yourself over to Christ. Okay, none of these silly rituals necessary. He's done it all for you. You know, you don't have to do any of that. Like, it's all pointless. And it's all, well, it's just, it's vanity, isn't it? Okay. The group performing its ritual, because I want to kill the stereotype, they're all about individualism and they want happy lives. Yeah, yeah, you know, you can still be an individual and have a relationship with Christ. You know, Christ, God doesn't want worker drones who are all the same as each other. You know, he wants each individual as he's created them to be live up to their full potential and have their own purpose in the body of Christ. Not for everyone to be a homogenous grey blob, which is what sadly a lot of churchianity has become and has come to represent Christendom as a whole. It's kind of these false dichotomies run throughout these arguments back and forth, don't they? There's nothing really dark in the stereotype. When they are finished, they hop in their cars and drive back to their families. Yeah, this is messed up. Oh, nothing weird about this. Oh, we're just good people, you know, who we don't need. You know, we're just good people who do rituals for compassion and to destroy our anger and rage and for forgiveness while walking through this bloody stained door, which looks like you've murdered somebody with a decapitated head above it. Oh yeah, you're good people. You're clearly just good people doing harmless rituals for fun to alleviate yourself of negative energies. That's what you're doing, right? Yeah, I am not buying that for 1 second. And people who do, come on, snap out of it. They're lying to you and laughing about it. They're playing on your ignorance and your gullibility. You know, that's what they're doing at the end of the day. I don't know. Anyway, I found the original artist. He has a whole thing on here, and here's more images of what was going on. A bit more high def if you want to check it out. David Tyczynski. Most of the images you just saw there, but they're here as well. It's a joke, isn't it? At the end of the day, the way they talk about it is kind of like, shut up. Yeah, you're just atheists who worship self. Yeah, people who, like, love themselves and worship themselves and just want to be good people, don't do this. It's not necessary, is it? You know? You're quite clearly demon-channeling satanic worshippers who are just overt. You're doing it in an obvious, very obvious overt sense, that's all. Hiding behind the masks of irony or something like that. But what you're doing here is literal, legit rituals. You know, just like the Vodun religions do the exact same thing. Okay, it's no different. You're just hiding behind the mask of the clown from a public perspective to make it seem like you are just silly atheists having a laugh. And the devil isn't real, and we know that. And we're just having a joke. We're clowning around, you know. Playing on the exoteric understanding of the symbol of a clown to hide behind it so the public thinks Satanists. Believing the devil is just funny. It's just silly. These people are clowning, you know. The devil's not real, and they know it. They're just funny clowns, you know. They're just people having a laugh. No. They are quite literally wearing the correct costumes necessary to channel demons more effectively. And you don't know it. You don't know that. It's hidden from you. But they know it. They know it very well. And it probably works for them very well. Because it's worked for all these ancestor spirit worship cultures for a very long time. You know, it's worked for them. Why would it suddenly stop working for us? Just because we're in the West. They know what they're doing. Do we? Anyway, there you go. There's the article. There's a few thoughts on it along the way. But it's just stupid, isn't it, guys? It's absolutely stupid. Let's check the chat. What do people think about this? Let's have a look. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to catch up to the chat. A lot of things have been said since. Talking about menstruation on the full moon. Lovely. Okay, we'll leave that. Based, Paul. Yeah, thanks. The brews were able to blend into ancient Egypt, so bronze and colour probably. I don't know what you're talking about there. Keep searching, Jenny. Okay, we're talking about that. The Heyoka. Sorry, guys. The chat's jumping all over the place for me right now. You don't see this, but it loads and then jumps a big chunk of things and I could lose my spot. Okay, Jenny, I'd recommend to stop doing spells. It will get you nowhere. You don't need it. Just come to Christ, come to Jesus, leave that life behind, and just you'll have a better life. Trust me. No magic spell will make your life better or anybody else's life better. It'll only make your life worse in the long run. It's not worth it. You don't need any of that. You've been freed from all of that. Take the free gift. Some of the people in here are not followers of Christ. Channel Maker is not addressing this at all, says Adam. I mean, sorry, I can't force every single person who listens to me and is in my chat to follow Christ. Like, I can't. How am I supposed to police that type of thing? It's like, and besides, I want anybody of every belief to get in. I'm not bothered if you believe in Christ or not in my chat section. Like, I can't force you to make a belief system. All I can do is represent as best I can, you know, and maybe I can inspire people to want to get to know Christ better, but I can't just kick people out of chat because they don't believe in Christ publicly. I mean, what the hell, man? you want me to be some kind of censorious dictator? That's ridiculous. Come on. That clown room looks like my ritual chair. You can't gatekeep a YouTube channel, Adam. Exactly, says things we should know. That's true. Just confused as to why they're here in the first place. Maybe they're just curious to know more. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, that's enough for the Discord. Let's see what else people are saying. Well, there you go. Wendy's explained it all to you as well. Look, it's not like I just don't like it when people leave comments like, clearly, the creator is not addressing this because he's purposefully dancing around the subject and he's intentionally not addressing this specific point because he's evil or something like that. It's like, maybe I just haven't got round to seeing it yet. Could it be that before you jump to the conclusion that I am purposefully not addressing specific things that you have deemed necessary to address? Could it not just be that I simply haven't caught up to that point in the chat yet? and I haven't seen every single one of the hundreds of comments people have left. Could it just be that? Maybe it's just that, Adam. I'm a conspiracy theorist just like the rest of you. You know, I understand it's easy to make assumptions, but maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't, condemnation before investigation is the height of ignorance, as they say. Ah, the top hat of the most illustrious master of masonry, or whatever they call it. The illustrious master of... Yeah, it's the worshipful grand master gets to wear the top hat in a Freemason lodge. That's correct. Because they do the same thing, you know. The top hat made Frosty come alive, says Lonesome Loser. You're right, it did, didn't it? It was the hat that did it. Yeah, seriously, that's a good one. Sorry, guys. Again, the chat's doing that thing where it jumps around. I'm sorry for the awkward start. I'm trying to make sense of the chat, but I don't know. I've lost all chronological order. I don't know what's going on anymore. What are we on time-wise? An hour and a half. That's a decent amount of time for a comeback. If anyone has any last-minute questions, ask them now, and I'll try and get to them as best I can. Like I said, guys, in the meantime, I have been writing the book, doing the best I can with that, and I'll just share the screen if you haven't already. With editing process, I as I was explaining earlier at the start of the video, I'm currently in the middle of proofreading chapter 10, and I do have, after this, another 10 chapters to get proofread and boxed off. It's about 100 more pages to go through, I don't know, like 60,000 more words or something, but hopefully maybe in a month's time I can have all that boxed off and done. But I am lagging behind due to life getting in the way. You know how it is. There we go. But yeah, guys, if you have any more questions, please just let me know in the chat now, and I'll try and address them. Let's keep it cool, you know. Let's not get weird. Sometimes the chat can get a little bit weird. Let's try and get this let's keep it fun, let's keep it lighthearted, let's keep it cool. Okay, I don't need Adobe to open this, so let's close that. There we go. Bring the slideshow back up. Excellent. So what's going on in the chat, guys? Any last minute questions? What's going on? What have we got? Talking about head removal, spine. Okay, whatever. Paul, use a tuning fork on your tooth. 128 hertz. Found it on TikTok. Works. I don't have a tuning fork. I believe you. I'll try and check out the TikTok video you're talking about. All right, yeah, the chat's completely derailed. You guys aren't even listening to me anymore. You're just going on about whatever the hell you're going on about. Whatever. Maybe it's time to shut this down before it gets too out of hand, guys. But no, thanks for listening today. I really appreciate you listening to my rambles. Again, this is a bit of a comeback video, to be honest, more than anything. Just to try and get back into the swing of things. Like I said, I have just moved house. Things are finally settling down a bit now. It's got some furniture coming, and next week I need to build to get more storage solutions in this house for a growing family, you know. More space, more clothes, more problems, it seems. Hopefully I can get the office sorted, and then I can be doing this from my little office in the evening with a bit of a desk, you know, which would be a bit better. And I am eager to get one of those Nephilim skulls with the elongated skulls in the background for fun. get it on a shelf in the background. Now I've gotten off. Seems like it's like an obligatory standard for Nephilim researchers to have one of those skulls in their office. So maybe I'll get a replica from Etsy and get that in the background. And for a bit of fun, maybe I'll paint some clown makeup on it or something. Who knows? Yeah, who knows? So you're still intermittent fasting, Paul? I haven't for the past few weeks, actually. No, because I've been on a holiday and doing other things. I do need to get back into the intermittent fasting, though. I do. I think it'll do my body a world of good as well when I get back into that. But right now, I need a new set of pans and pots, and also I've got all sorts of things to worry about in between fasting as well. So food right now in our house is a bit all over the place, and our means of cooking are a bit wild. But yeah, it's one of those. I'll be back on track with that in no time. Yeah, chat's derailed. I'm done, guys. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave it there. If you like what I do, consider becoming a Patreon member. $5 a month will get you access to a plethora of extra videos, behind the scenes content, and some updates about the book and snippets here and there as well. I'll be posting more things on there more regularly. I have just put a video up on there recently, which you can go and check out as well, which isn't on YouTube, bit of audio, bit of fun. But yeah, after show talks with guests often go on there as well. So go check that out if you haven't already. The minimum threshold is only $5 a month, and that gets you access to everything. If you haven't already, you can support the book by going to GoFundMe. Any donation at all will get your name mentioned in the book as a special thank you. But all pre-orders are now closed. If you did pre-order your copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns with your £100 donation or more, please make sure to give me your shipping address details to understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. And if you haven't already, please tell me your preference. Do you want Volume 1 sending to you, which will be published in the next month, signed by myself and shipped to you by myself? Or would you like to wait for another year or so for both Volume 1s and 2 combined into one book, signed and sent to you by myself? So you've got two choices, guys. If you donated £100 or more, you can either have the first book I'm about to publish, Volume 1, signed and sent to you, or you can wait for the combined book of Volume 1 and 2, the finished version, in a year's time, signed and sent to you. Let me know if you haven't already. I think there's about 13 people left who still need to send me their shipping address and choice. Please email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com with that information. It is in the description down below. If you can't remember that email, you can just copy and paste it from the description, guys. But again, there we go. MK Ryan, shoot, I'm a few minutes late. Can I start over? Well, luckily you can by clicking the pullback button at the bottom and starting the stream from fresh. But I am out of here, guys. Take it easy. I'll be back with more videos throughout the week, and obviously I'll be doing another live show. I've got guests coming in. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, but thanks for listening, guys. And as always, God bless.